in this podcast, we're going to be looking at points to consider when selecting a biller. And today we have Phoebe Breitling and Kieran Ryan joining me to discuss StatGo, a medical billing company that I myself actually use, me and my family. So Phoebe, Kieran, would you mind kind of giving me a little bit of a background about StatGo, where it started from?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Joel, for having us. So StatGo was actually started by a couple physicians, and you know, they were out in practice trying to bill and found that it was difficult to find the type of provider that gave them the transparency and did a good job for them. And so the company was sort of born as an impetus that this could be done better, and specifically sort of with technology. So over, you know, the years we've been running the company, we've learned a lot about, you know, what physicians do well, what frustrates physicians, and where physicians lose money. So I think what we're interested in sharing today is just some of those lessons that we've learned for physicians, what to look out for, what to be careful about, and what to look for when you're selecting a biller.
Yeah, and I think that I'm super excited to kind of dig into this, because for myself and my wife, who is an anesthesiologist, it was especially on her mind, it was challenging for her to make a decision on where she was going to actually go and who was going to, what service she was going to use. It's a complicated area. And after spending so much time learning and developing your skill set, this is kind of not exactly at the top of mind, even though it's incredibly important. So I guess I want to start with the perception of billing. Would you mind discussing that?
For sure, Joel. Like you said, like with your wife, after so many years of being in practice and studying, all of a sudden you're met with, like, now you're an independent practitioner and you have to figure out billing and all of these sorts of extracurricular things that you haven't done before. And when physicians start to look at billers, they often go to their colleagues and their peers and ask who they use and what is their service like. It's actually treated more like, you know, like, who's your accountant kind of thing, instead of actually putting a lot of thought behind who that person is and maybe what they, that service that they provide. And it actually is a huge decision, because the person or the service that you choose to do your billing actually controls a lot of your financial well-being, and will for a period of time. Could be a short period of time if they're poor, or could it be a long period of time? And choosing the right biller for you will make everything much easier for you. It could have a huge impact on your financial performance, and also the amount of time that you have to spend afterwards, or after your day, working on billing and making sure everything's in order.
Yeah, I can actually speak directly to that. Watching somebody who wasn't using the service that you guys provide, and then somebody who now is using it, and the amount of time that they spend inputting their information is, it's definitely, it's made a difference. So you kind of touched on financial, but I think there's probably two big reasons. To me, it seems as though workload tends to be not often talked enough about. The financial reasons is super easy. It's always top of mind. It's something you're thinking about, but workload, I think, is ignored, and it should be probably number one.
Yeah, I think that's right, Joel. And I think, you know, Phoebe touched on that billing is often thought of as sort of like a functional area. It's an administrative task that just has to get done. But I think, you know, some of the message that we want to share today is that there are options and service levels, and your biller should make this easy for you. You should feel confident in what's being done. You should not have to learn the whole schedule of medical benefits in order to be paid properly. And you should be comfortable that you should be able to see what's being processed on your behalf and feel comfortable with that. And Phoebe actually made an interesting analogy there to the accountant. I think that's really true. Like, a good accountant makes you really comfortable that your finances are being taken care of, that you're following the rules and your taxes are being done correctly, but you're not, you know, losing money through, you know, a tax setup that doesn't make. It's the same thing with a biller. The biller should be an expert in the area, and they should provide a lot of value for you, both by making your life easier and making sure that, you know, you're maximizing your income through the reimbursements and billing.
So with this reimbursement portion tends to be obviously a focus of yours. Where else do you guys add value? I know there's not just one, so.
Yeah, I think there's, you mentioned the two big areas, and I think that's a good breakdown. So the financial side, I'll just touch on that briefly because it is big. You know, a lot of physicians, when it comes to billers, I think many physicians are aware that some billers are better than others, and that, you know, some physicians are better than billing than other physicians. They just know the codes better and they know how to bill better. I think for us, it's important to highlight that that actually has a big impact. So, you know, if we just look at the math, and Joel, you're involved in wealth management and you think a lot about, you know, returns. Let's just take a physician who, you know, the average Canadian physician earns $350,000 a year. If a biller, if one biller is 10% better than another biller, that's $35,000 a year. That's not a small amount of money. And over the lifetime of a physician, you know, you think about a physician's career over 30 years, that's over $1 million. So small percentages, what seems like small improvements in the ability to gain, you know, get the right reimbursements and build the right codes and not make errors, adds up to a huge amount of money.
I can speak to that. And it's the one thing that I tend to focus with in regards to a lot of my clientele is the only thing that you can control in life, especially in finance, is your own, well, your own behavior, but then also control for cost and ensure that you're making sure you're getting paid for absolutely everything, but then you're also not overpaying for things too.
That's right.
I have to hit on that for sure because it's so important. So you mentioned that there's obviously there's a pay decay where you have mistakes that are made. How bad is this? Like how bad of a situation are is this pretty consistent across most physicians where there is a large missed portion of their billings? Is there a lot of stuff that needs to be fought for?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely see a wide variety of the physicians joining us. So, you know, some physicians are very knowledgeable about billing and they understand, you know, they've educated themselves, they understand the process and they do a pretty good job. And for other physicians, you know, they've really just trusted, you know, maybe a billing company and they don't understand the billing and there's really a lot of value being lost there. But what's actually interesting is there was a study done fairly recently in 2019 exactly on this subject. And it's a Canadian study. It was based in Ontario by two physicians, Dr. Ryan Austin and Dr. Herbert Schroeder. And they looked at the subject, how well do physicians bill? So the study was structured, 30 physicians. It was a little over 30 physicians. And it was a break between, you know, half the physicians were staff physicians, half the physicians were resident physicians. They took 10 clinical scenarios and asked these physicians, how do you bill this? How would you send this to your biller for payment? And, you know, out of that study, we have some quantitative results about how good physicians are at billing, and it's not very good. So, you know, the study looked at a variety of things, but I think one of the most interesting for us was the total amounts billed. So for every $100 that the physician should have been able to claim, you know, if they had billed perfectly, how much did they get? And the resident group was not that good. They missed 18% of their billings, just under 18%. Now, maybe that's to be expected. You know, they're not billing yet. That's, you know, they're still learning about this. It's not something they have to do yet. But the staff physicians were also missing a big percentage as well. They were missing just under 7% of their billings. So, and this, you know, when you look at that, that sort of confirms what we see day to day is that, you know, physicians, there's a lot still being left on the table. This isn't, you know, a minor percentage that people are missing their billings. It's a lot. And there was a big range too. So, you know, like we said, some physicians are very good. The study found that basically every physician was missing something, but some physicians are good. And then, but some physicians, you know, it was a big miss. So about a third of physicians were missing more than 10%. Of their billings. And that goes back to those numbers I mentioned earlier. That really adds up to hundreds of thousands or over $1 million, you know, for a physician over their lifetime.
So I think if I'm listening to this podcast, I'm thinking, okay, I'm practicing. Where the heck am I missing inside of my Billings? Is it specialty based? Can you guys identify that? Can you help those people, if they approach you, answer that question?
For sure. And the amount of errors potentially that a physician is making could depend on many different factors, right? You just mentioned specialty. You know, there are some specialties that do pretty minor consultations or, you know, just patient visits. So that's a little less complex than, say, plastic surgeons that see many different patients, perform many different codes, have very specific modifiers. So when I try and assess new clients that I have in and try and find those missing pieces, it's definitely in areas like modifiers and codes. And these errors can be either physician errors. Maybe they omitted codes. Maybe they omitted modifiers. So when I talk about modifiers, these are, you know, additional pieces of information that can really increase the base value of your claims. It could also be that your biller has missed them. You know, you put in a specific time range and they didn't allocate an extra modifier because it took you over half an hour. Also, modifiers for work that is performed evenings, weekends, holidays. Those are huge, and they add up to a very large amount of your income when you consistently work those types of shifts. Think about emergency physicians, right? They typically work night shifts, weekend shifts. If they're missing half of their billings for night shifts that they consistently work, that's a huge amount of their income. Also, modifiers like body mass index. There's specific age modifiers. So if your patient is, you know, under a certain age or over a certain age, there again are specific modifiers that can increase that base value for those codes. I talked a little bit about specialties that have more complex sets of codes. And with that increased complexity, sometimes billers will avoid those codes. They know that, you know, if they bill those together, they're not going to get paid or they're going to get rejected. And then they have to provide supporting text or operative reports. So your biller might try and simplify the codes that maybe you had originally submitted, or they know that they could submit, just to avoid that work that it would take down the road to get those paid.
So within that, and I it's hard to interrupt you there, but to me, I think that there's this inherent laziness that might come with a traditional style biller, that they might not feel like they're being compensated enough to find these specific nuances inside of the varying different modifiers and codes and restrictions on those codes. And I think that it may feel as though a 5 cent code is, or whatever they're getting paid per code, is just such a great number. But is there legitimate reasoning to find a billing organization that has, and this is actually the way I look at your guys' model and business, is that your incentives are in line with the physician. So you mentioned there's these nuances to codes and to billing, but to me, why is it so important to have your biller align with your incentive, which is to make more money or to get properly paid?
So that's a great distinction. It's not like make more money. It's being properly paid. So you've performed and you've done those services and you should be remunerated for them appropriately. A big difference is having data entry billers versus like billing agents that are versed in the rules of how to bill with Alberta Healthcare Insurance Plan in this case. They know the rules behind Workers' Compensation Board. So people that do potentially data entry, they just take what was written down and they transcribe it. They don't take that information and look at the whole picture. Look at the time that you spent. Look at the diagnostic codes you used. Look at the description that you gave, right? If you wrote, you know, a redo for an aortic aneurysm and you just wrote the aortic aneurysm code, somebody who just does data entry would just enter that one. Well, that redo has a modifier, and that modifier is worth a lot of money. So if you're consistently doing these sorts of cases and your data entry biller doesn't add that redo, that's a huge amount, right? And that's where having an educated billing agent that understands those rules and understands your practice can contribute so much to your overall financial health.
So you kind of hit on, or I actually mentioned even in my follow-up question, that there are different types of billers. I think that there's Dr. Bill, there's Stacko, there's the individual code billers. Would you mind kind of giving a rundown of what is important to understand when it comes to the different types of billers?
For sure. So choosing a biller also is going to depend on you as an individual physician. So also is going to be dependent on your practice and the workload that you have within that practice. So there's a big difference between the practice of a family physician who may see 50, upwards of 50 patients a day versus an anesthesiologist that maybe sees 3 patients a day. And within those situations, you then have to choose, like, are you going to be submitting these billings yourself? So do you want to be transcribing them or writing this information down? Maybe somebody else is going to transcribe that information for you. Or in the case of being a family physician, maybe you join a group and join that clinic and they have an EMR that's already set up within the clinic. So billing, really, you don't even really have to think about it. And within those groups, there's different levels of providers. So we talked about data entry, transcribing. So mom and pop shops, it's very paper-based. A lot of physician billing is still paper-based. You put your papers in an envelope or in a box, and somebody comes to pick them up, transcribes that information, and money appears in your account. We talked about EMRs that are usually attached to big clinics. So those could be providers like Akero or Wolf. Then you have more technology-based providers and billing services. And those would be like ClinicAid, Dr. Bill, Stacko. There's a number of them out there.
So, I mean, that does a really good, like, it paints a picture for me as to maybe these are the things that I want. The first one, which is definitely the cheapest one, kind of feels like magic beans. You throw a bunch of beans into a box, you put it out on their doorstep, and then magically there's money in your account. But that to me doesn't, if I know my wife and I know a lot of the people that I work with, there's no flipping way they're going to be okay with not having more transparency. And I think that that's actually the future of almost any professional services. The more transparency you can provide, the more people are going to be interested in using your service. So, and I think that's important to a key to latch onto. So would you mind kind of adding a little bit more color towards what are the 5 big things that you need to be looking for? I know for myself, I always have that in my back pocket, 5 things. But what is that in the case of Stacko? What is that in the case of billing for physicians?
Yeah, I think, you know, Phoebe sort of laid out there are these different options, but you're right, Joel. There are some basic things that you want to find in every any billing service that you choose. We'll try and do 5. I think the first one would be transparency. So you want to be able to see what's the work that's being done on your behalf. So if you complete a day, what codes are being billed and submitted on your behalf? And once those codes are submitted, you want to be able to track them. So not every code gets paid. Not every code gets paid at the full amount. Having the ability to watch that code go through the process, if a code gets rejected or underpaid, watching your agent follow up with it, giving an explanation as to why that code is not paid or what's being done about it is really important. And Phoebe talked about this earlier, but there are some misaligned incentives in this industry, in the sense that if a physician submits paperwork to be billed, the biller can choose to do easy codes that they know are going to get paid and they look like they're doing a great job. Because what the physician sees is, my biller submitted 100 codes, they all got paid, my biller's doing a good job. That's not necessarily true because they're not necessarily billing the right codes. And potentially, if you don't have transparency, maybe not all those codes are getting paid, and you don't have visibility to that. So I think the number one thing that I would recommend to any physician is have transparency in some manner over your biller. The second thing I would say is you know, the basic competence. So when you're dealing with your biller, like there is a basic expertise that a biller needs to understand to do your billings properly. There's a body of knowledge they have to know, and you want to make sure your biller has that. Phoebe alluded to the fact that there are billing services which are really just transcription services. They're going to take the codes you write down and submit them on your behalf. You don't really want that. You want a biller who's bringing that knowledge base to you and able to do a great job with what you're submitting. I think that's hard, again, for a physician to assess, particularly a new physician who's looking for a biller. But I think you can ask peers that you're working with, you know, what experience do they have? You can identify maybe the peers that you work with who are knowledgeable about billing and interested in the subject. And usually they have good insight into who's competent and who isn't among the options you have. Number three, you know, maybe it's related to number two, but would be optimizations. So a good biller should be helping you to bill correctly and bill in the best manner possible. So we occasionally talk to physicians who are coming from other billers, and they'll say, yeah, you know, my biller submits for me, but I never hear from them. They just submit and I get paid. That's not actually a good sign. You want feedback coming from your biller to say, hey, what happened here today? Maybe there's a different way of billing this, or you've asked me to bill these codes. I think, you know, we can bill in a better way by doing it this way. You want your biller actively engaged with what are you doing and how are we billing this on your behalf? So a biller who's optimizing your claims is ideal. And going back to that first point, transparency, that really helps, because if you can see what's getting billed on your behalf, you can get a sense, are they optimizing my claims? If you work with a colleague or something, to understand what they're doing. Number four would be technology, I think. Like you mentioned, I think many industries are moving towards having better technology that makes life easier. Billing is no different. So, you know, your biller should make your life easy for you. Usually that involves some technology, regarding transparency. So is it easy to submit your documents? If there's something required after the fact, is it easy to share that securely with them? Is it easy to communicate with them? You know, you talked about the magic bean system. That's usually not that great in terms of the service level that you're getting. So I think a biller who has some level of technology to make that easier for you is important. And I think the fifth item I think I would consider for any physician is the level of service. So we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, what type of billings do you do? Do you want to enter them yourselves, or do you want your biller to do it for you? Choosing a biller that provides that level of service for what you want and the level of support you want is important. And different billers provide different levels of service. So making sure that whatever biller you choose provides what you want.
So I suppose that's kind of a pretty good wrap on the reasoning as to why, if you're a new physician or you're a physician that has kind of gone the route of having or gone with the traditional way of just dropping off a box of it on somebody's doorstep, as to why they might be interested in using a service like yours. I know for myself, speaking from experience, or our family, my wife, it's definitely been, it's taken away from the stress of completing billings. So I have to say that I love the experience of Stacco itself, but again, anybody who's listening to this, they should be more than open to reaching out to you guys. So if you wouldn't mind, where can people find you? Where should they start? Should they just reach out to physicianfinance.ca? And if not, also provide some emails.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, Joe, we love to hear from physicians. We're obviously very passionate about this. So if physicians have questions or feedback or their own experience or thoughts on this, we'd love to chat with them and hear about it. We'll put our contacts on the physicianfinance.ca website so people can get a hold of us, but they can also contact us directly. So, you know, I'm at kieran@statco.ca, KIERAN.
And I'm Phoebe, so PHOEBE@statco.ca. And I really hope you enjoyed today's podcast.